You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday, heading towards the weekend here. And I invite you guys to church this weekend. If you're new to the area, or if you're looking for a new church home, for whatever reason that may be, I invite you to attend our church, Island Community. We would love to see you. And I'll be at the door ready to greet you here on this Sunday morning. Now, Island Community Church, we meet Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. islandcommunitychurch.net's the website. You can read what we think about Jesus there. You can read our statement of faith. Very important to know what a church and what the pastor believes about the Son of God. That's the go-to place. Or listen to some of these sermons. You can watch the videos from the last year on our YouTube page, same name, Island Community Church. Find out what we believe about Jesus there. And okay, on the radio, this is part two of this message that started yesterday. We're going through two books here on the radio. At church, we're going through the book of Acts. That's where we're at. And we will be in Acts chapter 19 Sunday morning. And here on the radio, we're in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7. We're looking as the Lord here revealed as the Lamb of God, opening and loosing the seals that are holding this scroll closed. And as he loosens the seal, angels are dispatched carrying out the will of God, which is the death of unbelievers, everyone out there that's been out of shape and upset that God loves them, because that's the charge over you and humanity today. God loves you. Now, that message got the Son of God killed. Okay, let's get into the Word. This is part two now of this message. We'll be back with my sermon from this past Sunday, Acts chapter 18. We'll hear that on Friday and Monday. But here now, we're in Revelation chapter 6. The Lamb opens the seals. Now here, I want to look at the opening of this seal from ground level instead of from up above. So let's go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and pick it up in verse 29. Matthew 24:29. It says, immediately after, look at those first four words. Immediately after the tribulation. Not before. This is after. This is the same thing we just looked at, but we're listening to the Lord teach this on the ground. We just looked at it from up in heaven. Now we're going to hear it from the ground. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. We just read all this, didn't we? The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. So notice all the similarities. Look what happens right after that. Verse 30, keep reading. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will wail. Hey, wait a minute. We read that too. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. You see, you saw the end of the world in chapter 1. He sees a vision all the way through to the end and then goes to another vision. Don't be deceived in trying to understand this book. He's not going in order from 1 to 22. He sees the end of the world in chapters 1, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 14, chapter 13. He sees the vision through and then he moves on. But he's saying the same thing John said in Revelation 1:7.
that when everyone sees them, everyone on the earth is not going to rejoice. Everyone's going to wail because they guessed wrong. They're going to wail when they look down, see what's on their hand. They were deceived by the government. They were deceived by the government and did what the government told them in order to buy or sell. They were deceived by the government. Boy, they're going to have a fun time with this one on the radio. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will wail or mourn. Greek word kolpos means to beat one's breast in anguish. Certainly is not going to be my response when he comes back. How about yours? All the earth will wail, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Wow, now there's your rapture and your resurrection. At the end of the age and on the last day. Now, not me, I'm just preaching it. It's right up there. I just gave you book, chapter, and verse, where the Bible tells you this happens at the end of the age, not before all of this happens. Now, back to Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. What's required of you and I is to strive. That's the only answer I can give you. People want to argue about this for when this is. My encouragement to you is to strive. We discovered that how many years ago, Darren? 8 or 10? What's the answer? Strive. You don't know what to do. You don't know when Jesus is coming back. You don't know pre, mid. You don't get into all these arguments people get in. The answer to you is strive. Agonizo is the Greek word, where our word agony comes from. Like the Lord Jesus, when it says he agonized in prayer and his sweat became like drops of blood. That is the mentality you and I need to have to get through this stuff. And don't say, oh, that's not me. This stuff happens. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime. Read about all the Christians that got fed to the lions. What's required of you and I is to cross the finish line in faith. We need to strive. They asked the Lord, Lord, are there just a few people that are going to be saved? What did he say?
Yes.
He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, strive to enter in through the straight gate. Narrow. Because broad is the way which leads to destruction. That's a whole nother text right there. But that's all that I know. Strive. That means make every effort. Be determined to cross this finish line in faith. Now, again, verse 14. Then the sky was split like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the high-ranking military men and the rich and the mighty and every slave and free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the crags of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and crags, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? So, how's your worldview now, England? How's your worldview now? Anybody a theocrat yet? Better become a theocrat now before it's too late. Because if you don't become a theocrat now, which is God rules, if you don't become a theocrat now, then you'll be like everyone else that wails when he comes back. You can wail or rejoice when Jesus comes back. It's your choice and your decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me in my house, right, I can't speak for anyone else's house. Only my own. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I know all of you feel the same way. But I'm not going to speak for you. You got to speak that for yourself. Trust in God in the face of adversity. Now, let's keep going. Is that all right? Is it all right if we crack into chapter 7? The 144,000 Israelites sealed. Now, after these things, I saw four angels. Here we go again. This is all angels. All of this is angels orchestrate everything, not men. Now, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. I guess that would be north, south, east, and west. Holding the four winds of the earth so that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea. Or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads." All right, now this seal represents protection and ownership by God. Much as he protected Noah in the flood, Israel from the plagues of Egypt, and Rahab and her house in Jericho. Notice that the servants of God will be sealed. But did you know that you too are sealed? You're already sealed. Here's another text we didn't even look at before. 2 Corinthians 1:22. It says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a..." Engagement ring. Earnest. Boy, talk about pledge. Huh? God says to you, "I pledge to you that if you receive my Son and if you call on the name of the Lord to be saved, I pledge to you that you belong to me." And as a down payment, you see, as a down payment, he's going to give you himself. That's why you're not the person you were last year or the year before or the year before or the year before that. It's because you have the pledge of God already on the inside of you. That's rather good news, is it not? Just makes me want to shout. Also, Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You see, these guys are going to get sealed. You already are. We'll get to that. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, Ephesians 1:14. Who is the... of our inheritance? He's the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that when you die and leave this world, the angels are going to come and take your soul away, and you too will be in heaven. God guarantees it by his Spirit that's transforming you daily and daily into the image of Jesus Christ. Look in the mirror. Look how much different you were from before. That's the guarantee. Look at how you're not the person that you used to be. That's the guarantee that God is at work in you. And he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Remember how you used to be. And look at how you are now. That's God's guarantee. And he can't guarantee it by anything better than himself. That's why Paul finished that sentence, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That would be you. He bought you. He bought you exagorazo, means out of the slave market. That's what the word redeem means. You were a slave. And God bought you from out of the, he said, I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take you, and I'll take you too. The price to get you out is his blood. Amen. The death of his son is the price. And the guarantee is the Holy Spirit of greater things to come. I'm about ready to start this sermon now. I pray for you visitors. The Lord gets me excited. I make no apologies for that. If you knew me who I was before, I make no apologies. I just return to give him glory for who he is, for what he's done in my life. And I'm so grateful for a church family of likewise, a church family of sinners who have been redeemed by the blood and have returned on this Sunday morning to give him glory. Look at what God did to Cain. Genesis 4. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great. I can't bear it anymore. Surely you've driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I will be hidden from your face. I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, these vagabond shoes are leaving today. All right. No, he didn't say that. He said, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain. Some says it's the letter Aleph, which was a cross. Right on his forehead, even all the way back then. The Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Likewise, God is instructing these angels to put probably the same mark that was on Cain on these 144,000 Jews. Maybe this is why Satan will mark his own to imitate God. Verse 4, he says, I heard the number of them that were sealed. So how did he hear? I reckon somebody told him. Someone said, hey, John, by the way, there's 144,000 of these cats. He heard the number, 12,000 from each tribe. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Literal or symbolic? Probably. However, 12 times 12 times 1,000. Remember, understand the symbols, understand the book. There is a chance that that is symbolic. 12 times 12 times 1,000 symbolizes completeness. A similar multiple is in John measuring the New Jerusalem. I don't have time to go there. That's chapter 21, verse 16. All right. I've got to move on. Verse 9. Now, after these things, I looked, and behold. Well, I was going to make the comment that since God has gone to so much trouble to tell you and give you these exact things, that this should be taken literal and not figurative. He's gone to great lengths to tell you that this should be taken literally and not spiritualized. Nowhere else in the Bible do a dozen references to the 12 tribes mean the church either. Some people say, well, that's talking about the church. God's through with the Jew. No, he's not. Isn't Romans chapter 11 in your Bible? Or is that cut out of your Bible? We've looked at that time and time again. These are Jews. So much so that he wants you to know that, he's broken this down tribe by tribe by tribe so there'd be no misunderstanding. He's not talking about Gentiles. He's talking about Jews. Now, after these things, verse 9. After these things, I looked and behold. Well, after what things? Well, this is the end, so we're at the end of the age. Now, after these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no man could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living beings, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So again, same as the end of chapter 6, we're at the end once again. We're celebrating the triumph and the victory of the saints of God and the triumph and victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wins in the end. End of the story. You want to get to the end and find out what happens? Turn to the end. The Lord Jesus wins. Satan loses. All who follow the Lord by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved win in the end. Those that reject him and reject the gospel, those that are upset that God loves them, if you're upset that God loves you, then you lose. And that's the crime over you today. You're upset that God loves you. There's no other way around that. God demonstrates his own love towards us and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us would come to repentance. God loves you. That's the charge over humanity. Ask the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 13. We hear a mighty strange question to ask. Then one of the elders, now remember the elders are those 24, I jokingly called 24 Presbyterians, Presbyteros, elders, sitting around on these thrones, around the throne of God. Now, one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these people clothed in these white robes? And where did they come from? But imagine that. Why ask John this question? Verse 14, and I said to him, sir, you know. The Esposito vernacular to that would be, what are you asking me for? Why are you asking me? Sounds like Abbott and Costello. What's the fellow's name on first base? Why are you asking me who's on first? He's on second. I don't know. Third base. And John says, so imagine this guy comes up to him and he goes, tell me, John, who are the... I don't, why are you asking me for? I don't know who these guys are. Answer, I guess the author of the book wants to make sure everyone knows who all these countless people are in these white robes. That's why he asked them. Look at his answer. So he said to me, these are, this is verse 14. Whatever chapter we're in, verse 14. What chapter are we in?
Seven.
Oh, see, you're wrong. Seven. These are, you don't even have to guess. He's going to tell you who they are. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that funny? How blood's the only thing that leaves such a stain you can never get it out, no matter how hard and how much you try to wash it. You can never get blood out of your clothes. But yet, how ironic that blood is the only thing that can make you as white as snow. Just the opposite for how the world looks at it is the blood. Therefore, verse 15, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They will neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. And the sun will not strike them nor any heat. Now we said that because that's going to be one of the last plagues. Chapter 16, verse 8. There's going to be a plague of the sun scorching people. That's what he meant by that. Where he says that the sun will not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Hallelujah is right, Carol. The parting words for today, church. You do not have to wait until the tribulation to be sealed by God. Unless you are Jewish. Unless you are Jewish, wait until the tribulation is too late for you. Because these are Jews that are being sealed by God, not the church. This text is implicit and precise. Because today is the day for the church of Jesus Christ to be sealed. Not tomorrow. Today is your day. Now tomorrow is theirs. There is not a Christian here in this text that's being sealed by God. You, us, we're already, you get sealed now. They will get sealed then. Big difference. And today is our day, and tomorrow is theirs. So believe and receive Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment and as a guarantee of the glory that awaits the Christian today. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent here with a question from Matthew 11:16. In this passage, Jesus compares the religious leaders of his day to a group of unhappy children, saying they were, quote, like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. John, what point was Jesus making with this unique comparison?
This is such a wonderful illustration by our Lord. And I've dealt with a lot of children in my life, continually do with my 15 grandchildren. And sometimes children can just be cantankerous. No matter what you do for little children, you can't make them happy. If you play the flute for them, they don't want to dance. But on the other hand, if you try to sit by and commiserate and feel sad with them, they don't want to mourn. They just don't want to cooperate. And that